Ooh-wee, boy, that work has been working outside. Welcome, welcome. Welcome back. This is the Who Am I Pod. We are your hosts, King CJ, Kevo Ren. King, how you feeling, my boy?
I feel great. Ben Simmons is not at practice. He is not welcome. I hope he stays wherever he is at. We don't need crumb you. Bum. You crumb bum.
You know, that one is crazy, though, because it's like, that's a Rich Paul client. And so, like, that's like multifaceted for me because I'm like trying to see how Rich going to handle this.
Well, he handled it like he handled AD. Like, hey, we getting up out of here, bro. We not.
The only problem with that has been is nowhere near as valuable to an organization as AD is.
Hey, man, coming up first team all defense, almost in contention defensive player of the year, all star, rookie of the year. Like, he got the stats on paper. That man, he got worth. And it's a lot of teams that want him. It's just who going to pay that price.
Yeah, because you're going to have to pay the price.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't sell him for the low.
Nope.
Just because of what. But it's obvious that he's not going to work with Joel Embiid in the system that they got. So.
Y'all going to hear more about that on my positivity shout out. Because real ones, yeah, they're going to show themselves.
Yeah, that's a good one. And sportsman good, though. Man, sportsman good. Football back. It's shit, surprisingly enough, basketball is sneaking up on our ass, man.
Yeah, I think preseason games start next, or exhibition games start next week.
I think they start next week. I think the Lakers are next. We obviously, you know, we ain't going to see everybody that we're going to see. But yeah, sports, shit, we might be talking a little bit more about that going forward because sports been good lately.
Yeah.
So today, though, we do got a couple topics, a lot of music, a lot of new music. We was out for a couple weeks. I got my wisdom teeth pulled. For those people that got them when y'all was young, fuck y'all. Cause, that shit when you get a little older be hitting a little different. It was fucking my mouth up. I was out here. Tongue was too big for my mouth. I couldn't even speak like that. Sound like Kanye. Sound like Conway, dog. Out here, dog. One side of the mouth swole. So we back. We'll get into some music. King, I'm gonna let you go ahead and slide first on that.
So I'm gonna start with an album that actually came out during the week of Drake COB and Kanye Donda. And a lot of people had just been saying like, this was the best drop of that week. And I'm like, are y'all crazy? Then I listened to it and I realized she was a artist from the UK, but man, I haven't stopped listening to this album yet. So this is Little Sims. Sometimes I might be introvert, and again, artist from the UK. So she does have that accent, but you can't tell me these aren't bars on par with somebody like Rhapsody, on par with somebody like Kendrick, on par with some of the best. Like, she has great concepts. She has great lyrical ability. She has great flows. She has great music. I mean, she has choirs on one song, like instrumentation. It's just so great. And then the content of it is so good because I was going back and listening to like older albums that I consider classics. Cause I felt like I was being a little biased and trying to get my kind of radar back on track and figuring out why I love certain albums or why I didn't like a lot of certain recent albums. And in my opinion, when you can make a good song, tell me a little bit about yourself and then kind of elevate like the conversation or take a new direction that I haven't heard before, I feel like that's just a way to kind of express your artistry. And what Little Sims did with this project, I mean, she went super personal. She went super like women empowerment. She went super like what's going on being a black woman in the UK and connecting with black people all around the world. It was just so dope. And then the music was good. Like, I always love a good message, but sometimes it gets lost when the music isn't hitting right. This is an amazing project, like really one of the best hip hop albums that I've heard in a long time. Like, this is I can't express it enough. This is an amazing album right here. So I had to make sure to slip this in as Little Sims. Sometimes I might be introvert. Definitely go check that out, especially if you like bars, if you like lyrical content, if you like a Kendrick or something like that. This is one you want to check out.
It's been a little quiet for the female hip hop artists, man. Been a little quiet.
But that's we need that, man. Like, it's like something like this. I was like, man, I needed this perspective. Like, she got this song over here called I Love You, I Hate You. And it's basically a sample of just that word. And she's talking about her family and how she's dealing with the, like, I'm always going to love you because you're my family. But now I'm dealing with the trauma that I've been through with you. I'm dealing with the the knowledge of now I'm an adult and I know how you act and I know how you're going to do this. So sometimes I hate you, but I can't really hate you because you're my family. And it's like, man, that's deep. And then to put that on a good song, it's like, man, that's what music is. Like, that's hip hop right there.
Hell yeah. You mentioned a classic. I asked you this earlier in the week, but we didn't really expand on it. But I talked to, this is just kind of separate. When you said a classic, I kind of wanted to talk about this on the pod. One of my friends, he asked me Usher or Chris Brown in a versus battle. And that's complicated. We could talk for hours about that. But what I was saying was Usher has a certified classic for sure without, you know, any shadow of a doubt. I don't know that Chris Brown has the same. What do you think?
It's arguable. Like it's yeah, arguable. Right. Like,
it'd be that first one though, right?
It would have to be the first one. The second one, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, is it a classic or did it just have a lot of hits? You know what I mean? Cause I'm not going back and listen
it
to that.
It did have a lot of hits.
It had a lot of hits for the time, but those hits didn't really age well. You know, nobody's listening to Yo, but you don't want anything from Confessions to this day. And it's like, ooh, it still smacks. So it's like,
but the second one that had Take You Down on there though.
I think the first one had Take You Down. Or I could be again.
Cause now the first one, he was kind of pretty boy.
That was I don't know your name.
The first one was Yo.
Yeah.
He might have had that, what's that joint that,
let me see if you can.
I see your daddy. What's that one? I see your daddy. I can't remember what that song is called right now. I just remember that part on the remix, bro. I said, hold on, bro.
You can't be calling that, man. But, you calling too many people daddy now.
We can't be out here calling them. Can't be doing this. But no, I just thought about that. I don't know if it's a classic. I mean, there's diehard Chris Brown friends that'll probably punch you in the mouth for saying that. But
Chris Brown is a good single artist. Like, he going to give you a hit. He stay with
a hit.
He
like Drake.
Yeah. Facts. He stay with a hit. But when it comes to putting a body of like art together, that's not his thing.
Well, let me talk about an artist, a new one. His name is Rimble. Not really new, but he's new to me. He's been kind of blowing up on TikTok. I don't know if you watch TikTok and you got the right, you know, algorithm, man. You'll be able to, you know, hear a lot of his music. He's from the West Side. He kind of talks. It's like a kind of slower rap. It's got like real pronounced. I don't really know how to explain it. It's different than anything I've ever heard. I'm sure people on the West Coast has heard it a lot, but these kind of flows, the kind of beats that he's on, it just really works all well together. And he got a new song called Rock Climbing, featuring Lil Yachty. Lil Yachty actually took his shot at that type of flow too. It actually kind of worked out for him. I didn't think he was, you know, like killing it or anything like that, but he definitely didn't, you know, take away from the track. He did add to it, so I like that too. And these type of songs that have been kind of just popping off on TikTok, it's funny because then I'll go like listen to it and I'm like, damn, these are actually good songs. It's not just, you know, just the funny part or just the cool part that everybody's taking out and letting it run, you know, over and over on TikTok. It's you know, good music. So that's Rimble by it's Rock Climbing. I really like his music. I've been listening to it for a while now, so I would suggest y'all go check that out too. Again, if you're not from around those parts and you never really heard that type of music, it might be a little bit new to you. But sometimes we need a little bit of something new to kind of mix up the hip hop game. So I appreciate that song. I will go check that out.
Yeah, I just downloaded that. I think I saw that video. Like you said, I think he's been going viral. So I think I saw like snips of that video, but I didn't listen to the song. But I'm gonna check it out. So this, speaking of like unexpected songs or unexpected things to listen to. So I had no idea that Lil Wayne and Rich the Kid were dropping a joint album, but this is called Trust Fund Babies. And first looking at, like, I didn't listen to it until like Saturday. Right. It's because I'm like, Lil Wayne and Rich the Kid, I don't know how that's going to sound like. But when I listened to it, I realized how much of a goat Lil Wayne is. Like, I literally like hit pause on the album and just started like thinking, like, Lil Wayne literally ushered in a new generation of rap. And you have so many offspring from that we're starting to see second generation influences of Lil Wayne. Like, you got all the littles, like the Lil Uzis and the Trippy Reds and the Rich the Kids now. And you realize that all of these artists are influenced by Wayne's sound. But the problem when you have artists like that, kind of like a Kanye, kind of like a Wayne, kind of like when you innovate a sound, eventually that sound gets ahead of you. And those people that you influence, they start innovating and taking it to new levels. And although you may not have the ability to innovate at that level, you can always go into that lane because you are the source of it, right? And what I think this album highlighted is just how great Lil Wayne is. Because I'm not really a Rich the Kid fan. Like, I'm not sitting up here listening to his music all the time. But he does a good job of kind of setting Lil Wayne up. Like, sometimes Lil Wayne, he doesn't pick the right beats. He might not have the best production. But hearing him on modern production on these beats with these concepts, where it's like the kind of formula is already laid out for him, Lil Wayne just got to show up and show out. He definitely did that, to where Rich the Kid brought the beats, he brought the energy, he even brought some song ideas, and Lil Wayne just brought everything. Like, he brought the bars, he brought wittiness, he brought the flows, he brought, like, it's just amazing to see. And I feel like ever since that whole Carter Five situation got handled, ever since he got pardoned and kind of everything is off his plate, Wayne has been on a nice little run. Like, I haven't heard a bad Wayne feature, a bad Wayne verse in a long time. So I just feel like this is one, you might sleep on it because you see Rich the Kid, but this is a quality project right here because of Wayne. Right here. So Lil Wayne, Rich the Kid, Trust Fund Babies, I suggest checking it out. And it's short, sweet, not too much music. It's only 29 minutes, 10 songs. So not too much of an investment to check it out.
That's my flavor. that's my flavor. So yeah, y'all, if anybody know me, y'all know I'm a big Wayne fan. So what's other said don't need to be explained on that one. I want to get into these Wale songs. He dropped two songs. He got a new album about to come out soon. The first one is Poke It Out featuring J. Cole, and the second one is Angles featuring Chris Brown. So some big features right off the bat for Wale here. Wale is a weird one for me, because sometimes I thoroughly enjoy his music, and sometimes he leaves me completely underwhelmed. And I don't know what I'm gonna get from him, from a, you know, project to project type of vibe. I just don't know what I'm gonna get from him, but I do like where this one is heading so far. So I don't know if he should have released these both big features like this at the same time. Maybe he should have released like a solo track, but you know, Wally's a vet in the game. He's got good backing behind him in MMG. So I'm sure he knows exactly what he's doing with this here. I'm starting with the Poke It Out. Great song. I really like it. And I'm really loving the J. Cole kind of just goes on these spurts where he just kind of feels like he hops on everything, right? Like, he feels like you can't stop hearing J. Cole. He did the same thing, I think, back in 2020 or 2019. He just kind of just, I'm going to just hop on everything for just like 6 months for, you know, whatever reason. And I like that. I like that J. Cole. I like the vibes we get when we get that J. Cole, because he just comes out kind of authentic. He's just rapping his ass off on other people's songs, and it just sounds great. As far as Wale, he sounds good. It sounds like it's going to be an album that I'm going to like. It sounds like he got his flows right. It sounds like he got the beats right that he wants. It sounds like he actually took some time on this project. It doesn't sound rushed. It sounds like he might have had this in the clip for a little bit now. So I'm liking what I'm hearing from that one. The Angles Chris Brown one. You can't go wrong with a Chris Brown hook. I mean, it's not really a formula that you can fail with, especially when you got him and Wale, somebody so two vets in the game. There's really not much to say about this song. It's good. It's a good song. I would check it out if I were you. that's really all there is to say. Again, the formula is there. They executed it well, and I appreciate both of these songs so far. I'm hoping that this album is going to be great. I'm hoping that it will be, you know, something that could reach my top five. We'll see. He does have that potential. The floor is there. The thing about Wale is the floor is always going to be there. I talked about that a little bit with Drake. The floor is not, you know, as high as that, I wouldn't say, as far as the quality of the music, but the floor is there with Wale. And with ceiling is really, you know, where it kind of fluctuates. You know, how good can it actually be? How great can Wale actually be? We'll see what that is. And this one might be actually able to put him somewhere a little bit higher is where he stands in hip hop.
Yeah, Wale is one of the most talented artists to come out of this class. So that, like you said, that don't even have to be explained. Especially you see him getting these high level features because of the respect for Wale's pen, the respect for Wale's ability to make music. And Wale has a tried and true formula. Like, he gonna get out there, he gonna show you he can rap. He gonna get out there, he gonna make some songs for the ladies. You know, and This is a follow-up. The Florin mixtape came out in 2012, and I guess the upcoming album he has is Florin 2. And that Florin mixtape back in 2012 was one of the classics. That's when Dat Piff was on fire, where everybody had to create like a classic on Dat Piff, and that Florin was one of those ones. I'm excited. Wale is giving me like uncle vibes right now. And I don't know how to feel about it. Like, he got the classic samples and the good, like, got a good flow, but I don't know, man. I don't know what it is. I think maybe I'm just listening to too much music and I expect too much. And I'll get into that when we get on another album, but I maybe have to tame my expectations. Cause when I go into albums, when I don't have an expectation, like this Wayne project, I have a much more enjoyable experience. And I feel like the pressure of a Wale project or a Wale song, especially Wale and Cole, like that's a legendary connect. Like, they got classics together.
It could have been better when you put it that way.
Yeah. So it's,
it definitely could have been better.
So I got to tame my expectations to, you know, make it a much more enjoyable project. But I like you said, Wale is not going to make a bad project because he's too talented. Yeah, so again, I'm heavy album guy. I'm going to go with West Side Gun, Hitler Wears Hermes. What am I talking about? Hitler Wears Hermes 8 Side B. So in his last episode, I talked about Side A that dropped and about how dope it was. But also said that he was dropping a Side B soon. And this Side B is incredible. Like, it is incredible. And it's incredible in all the ways that you would appreciate a West Side Gun project. We all know West Side Gun isn't the best rapper. He even knows he isn't the best rapper. But what he does do is create an aesthetic to the point where he opens the album off, or this Side B off, with back-to-back interludes, just setting the tone, just so you can appreciate the music, just so that you can get into the mindset that you're listening to something different, that you're listening to a, like a different class. It's kind of like I was talking about it with the OG. This is art. Like, certain people make rap songs, certain people just sing, certain people make art. Like, this project is art. And I mean, he knows exactly what to do. He doesn't overdo it. You're not going to hear him go off for 4 minutes, just straight bars. You might hear him give you 8 bars and then let Stove God go off on the song. And it's like, yeah, I forgot Westside was even on this project. But you like it so much, you don't care that he's not on it, because he knows how to stay in his lane. And then you hear him actually give you some bars. Like, he gave me some flows. Like, I was cutting the grass and I was like, hold up, is that Westside going off like this? Like, what you doing? Like, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, he has 2 Chainz on here going crazy. Jay Worthy on here going crazy. Of course, you got Benny and Conway. You know they're going to step up. He been highlighting. He had Jay Electronica going crazy, dedicating his verse to his homie Locked Up. And Jay Electronica was basically, like, giving him, like, yo, keep your head up. Like, you a god. You not no punk. What do you say? You not a god. You know Demi Moore or Ashton Kutcher. You remember Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher were a couple back before, but the Ashton Kutcher had that show called Punk. Like, you not a punk. You a god. And you not a Demi god like Demi Moore. And I was like, yo, this is what I want from you, Jay Electronica. Like, this is it. Like, I need this type of wordplay. But just to get Jay Electronica just to dedicate all that, like, intention to his homie that's locked up. And again, you just drawn into it. Like, he sets up the whole premise about being locked up and what that does to you and about being in the game. And it goes into that. Then he talks to, and he brings in all these designers and they kind of leaving the messages. And then it goes into a song where we're talking about art. And it's like, this is an amazing project, bro. Just like Pray for Paris, where it kind of took me out of nowhere. It just brought me a new level of respect for West Side Gun. This album did that as well in a totally different way. And to think that this is just a Side B from a project that he just dropped a couple weeks ago, from a person who doesn't like to rap, this is an amazing project right here. So that's West Side Gun, Side B of the Hitler Wears Hermes 8. Great project if you haven't already checked that out.
Yeah, shit. I'm glad you got to review that album, because I can tell you right now, I wouldn't have been able to say that title.
You heard me struggling.
Yeah, that's number one. That's just sound like a password to get into a secret locked door or something. Like, I don't know what the fuck. Like,
that's a Squid Game right there.
I'm going to just put it on the screen. Y'all going to have to read it. God damn. But anything that gets you this excited, I want to hear too. That's pretty much a good rule of thumb for us when we go through these music things. Anything that got one of us that excited, Definitely go check that out. So
yeah, if you listen to one, because it's a lot of songs, listen to Free Cutter. Nah, Jay Electronica went crazy. That was it, man.
There it is. I do want to talk about another. Probably I'll just do both of these at the same time. J. Cole, he basically had two songs kind of drop at the same time. Obviously, one is with Jonah Lucas, Your Heart. You can get that on Apple Music. The other one is a freestyle of Drake's Pipe Down on CLB. And they had a nice little moment on stage where Drake kind of was bigging him up. I love seeing that. I know some people was like, hey, it's not, you know, competitive, or I don't know why everybody wants everybody beefing. You can be competitive without saying fuck a nigga or something like that, you know? So, that was a good little moment on stage. Like I said, I'd love to see that. We'll start with the Pipe Down record. If I had to pick a beat on CLB, I don't know if I would have picked that one, although it did come out well. So I just want to say that. Although it did come out well, I did think there might have been a better beat that he could probably, you know, get on. But I did like what he was saying. I did like, how he was rapping on there. It did sound good. He said that, you know, a lot of people think that he's top, you know, that he's getting the bronze medal as far as when it comes to, you know, Drake and Kendrick Lamar. I'm one of those people, unfortunately. Like, I fall in that category for reasons that we've talked about on this show. But it's cool. It's nice to know, even though I would have liked the more of aggressive side, it is nice to know that people, that as far as them being as big as they are, they're still aware somewhat of what people are saying. I'm not saying you have to let it destroy your life. But it is nice to know that they're aware of it, because it I'm sure they take that into account when they rap. And like, it's just for competitive nature. Somebody told me, hey, you the bronze out of your peer group. I'd be like, nah, I got to make sure we got to get something together. Then, you know, especially if majority of people are saying that, we got to get that together. So I'm sure he uses that as some type of fuel and some type of energy to rap his ass off like he does. The Jordan Lucas joint sounds exactly like you would expect from these two. That's one that if you told me the title, you told me who was on the track, I could already picture what that was going to sound like. And it sounded exactly like that. I don't want to get too much into the lyrics of it. They do a good job of telling stories and actually talking about something, which we know we lack a lot of that in hip hop right now. We lack the storytelling element. So it is good to see, you know, two rappers, especially these two, like Joyner, man. Joyner Lucas is amazing. Like, as a lyricist, I don't know if there's better ones out there that's came out in, like, let's just say, like, last, you know, 10 years, you know, because all everybody else is that's really big is already was kind of already out. Not, you know, Griselda was probably out at that time, but we weren't really listening to him big time as far as all of us as a whole, as a majority. So as far as just lyricists, that man can spit, man. That man can snap with the best of them. He did not take a backseat to J. Cole in this, which is tough to do, in my opinion, at least. So just like with that alone, like we said, there's a couple, like Lil Baby was rapping with J. Cole, Drake, and everything. He was just, you know, he was right there with him as far as rapping goes. Some people say he beat both of them. Just depends on how you ever take it. But when you can do that with some of the best artists in your class, and when you know, like, the certified, even if J. Cole is bronze, like, that is a leagues above a lot of other rappers that's in the game right now, because there is so many rappers. So it's not gold out of 7 or 5. It's gold out of hundreds of rappers. You know what I mean? So, or bronze out of hundreds of rappers. So just staying on par on the same stage as a guy that we know is certified spit, like certified fire. You know what I mean? That's a good track for me. Either way, any day, that's a good track for me. So I like this. I want to see more. Hopefully I can see more. We can see more of them together. I thought they sounded great together. So again, that's Joyner Lucas, Your Heart. Another one, again, that's that Pipe Down freestyle featuring J. Cole.
Yeah, just I think you call it, was it a Heaven's EP that Cole titled it, Heaven's or whatever. EP, yep. For that one, like you said, amazing. And it kind of made me realize how good the production actually was, because I was kind of not a fan of the production of CLB, but it kind of made me realize the beats were good. It's just, I don't think Drake did what he could have done to those beats to make me appreciate them more. Because I talked about Freddie Gibbs had his Vice Lord Poetry over the Champagne Poetry, mm-hmm. and now Cole coming. So that's two for two where other people have come on this production and just got busy. Like you said, I love the Heavens EP from Cole, but that line about like, hey, they just saying I'm bronze out here and not really combating that, saying like, no, whatever, I'm gold. That kind of hit me because it's like, man, I all year I'm like, yo, Cole can make a claim. Like he might not be the strongest, but Cole can make a claim for that number one spot of everything that he's done. As far as like, yo, I built a label. I'm still one of the best. I got classics. Like I'm out here doing it. I've got a year worth of features that you can put up against anybody's best album. Like Cole has that claim. And sometimes I don't like when he doesn't, you know, go for it, because I would be behind him if he goes for it, because he has the resume. But like you said, to see Drake on stage, giving him that same energy, like, yo, you one of the best to ever do it. So like, whatever people are saying, whatever, like I feel like, and I'm sure a lot of people feel like, you one of the best to ever do it. So that, you know what I mean? Like, remember that meme? It was like, that makes me happy. When the dude was playing a video game. Like that was like, damn, man, I'm glad that, you know what I mean? In a time where Drake just beefing with everybody, he can show that love. So that was dope. But the Joyner Lucas track with J. Cole, amazing track. Joyner been killing all his songs this year. Got a song with Lil TJ, dope. Got a song with Lil Baby, one of my favorite songs of the year. Now he got a song with J. Cole, another one of my favorite songs of the year. Just seeing his rise, it just gives me hope that, yo, you can still be a lyricist. You can still be somebody about bars. And as long as you make good songs, the industry has to respect you. And I respect it. But I would say, if you listen to that song, go and watch the video. Because the best thing about Joyner Lucas, he has amazing video. And that video just plays into the, it's like the song is secondary. It's like a soundtrack to what's going on in the video. And they tie in and they interweave perfectly. Like they were made all together with that idea in mind. So amazing.
When they were sitting in the house together and J. Cole was rapping and he was just like kind of rapping. Like
hitting him in his chest. Though. Like, look at you.
I was feeling that shit. I was really feeling that shit. Yeah. And that's what I was talking about. I said that, like, I don't want to bring this. I don't want to, like, there's some beauty in simplicity. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, there's some beauty. Like, even the J. Cole joint where he was just kind of rapping in the Heavens EP, his video for that. He just kind of rapping on the plane, kind of chilling, like outside somewhere. Just like nice little takes just from him just rapping and stuff like that. Give me that every day over the complicated ass shit that don't really be making sense, bro. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Like we talked about it with the Family Ties video a couple weeks back. And I'm just like, just give me something that, you know, just give me something that's visually pleasing. Just I don't really like. We got homie dancing in from screen to screen, doing the punch shit. Like
beat him up.
like this was have some type of deep meaning to it. I'm like, bro, what are we talking about, bro? Like he got Shorty twerking on him in the crib in the background. Like just, I don't know, bro. I don't know how you feeling that shit, bro. How you feeling that shit?
Yeah.
But who am I?
Yeah, nah, but they two great tracks. Two great tracks. Was those your last two? Because if that is, I'll wrap up my last two here.
I got just the Meek. We can finish with Meek.
Okay, so I got two R&B tracks real quick before we get into my dog. Lucky Day with Over. Amazing R&B track. He flipped Music Soul Child's My Mind's Gonna Have Crazy. And it's flipped in a way that's weird. Like, it's not an exact sample. So I was like, at first, it's just a sample playing. And I was like, man, this is a weird way to flip it. Like, it's not even, I can't catch the beat. But as soon as he comes on the track, he start flowing like a rapper. And like, he hitting every beat and he's singing and his voice is amazing. So it's like, it's Lucky Day. So you know what to expect. But that song is like, if you're going to flip a classic like that, because Music Soul Child is one of them people that slept on that. Like, he got classics and I'm biased, obviously, because he's from Philly. But to flip that in a way to where it's like, it's almost like Tory Lanez flipping the track, like a Chicks Tape type genre. So this great, great track. And speaking of giving an old school feel, Giveon dropped a track called For Tonight. And man, that song is, it's like soul, like classic. And Giveon already has that voice to where it makes you feel like this is something that's going to be around forever. Like this is timeless. It's so unique. But this song is like something that you want to hear at a wedding. It's like something that you want to play at prom. It's like, I want to slow dance to this. Like, it's timeless music. So, Lucky Day, Giveon, almost, they never miss. But for them to come out with these tracks back to back, like R&B is in good, good hands. So go ahead and look at that. Again, that's Lucky Day with Over and Giveon with For Tonight. Two amazing R&B tracks.
All right, man. Let's get to it, man. Kind of surprise drop. I didn't see it coming. I don't know if you did. I know you're a big Meek Mill fan. But Meek Mill, Expensive Pain. Let's see what we got here. We got 18 tracks, 55 minutes, some features. We got the big ones is Lil Uzi, Young Thug. We got Vory on there, Moneybagg Yo, ASAP Ferg, Kehlani. Really good features on here. And that's just to name a couple. But man, this the mid game, man. Not the Squid Game. This the mid game, man. That's the mid game, bro. We might need to name the episode mid game, bro. We had to name the whole episode mid game, bro. Cause yeah, he was playing in that strong. I think he might have won, but this one right here, man. Oh man, disappointment. That's all I got. That's all I could really say. In my opinion, it's tough because I don't know why, but I really wanted to like it. Like I really did. I really did go into it. I'm like, oh man, Meek Mill just dropped. I seen on Instagram when I said, oh yeah, Meek Mill, it's been a minute. Meek Mill about to unload the clip on him. Like, and it lacked a soul. Like, I don't really know. Like it lacked something. It seemed stale. And it didn't have a lot of energy, which you would think that's what Meek Mill feeds off of, is the energy of the tracks, the energy of the songs. And maybe it's again, the substance thing is getting kind of to me. The substance of songs is kind of getting to me with rappers these days. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. Your boy is pushing towards 30. So I don't really know what it is, but the substance of songs is really something that I look for, especially from rappers. And Meek Mill, I will put him as a rapper. He's not like a Travis Scott where he just can get on track with good beats and say stuff. He's not in that lane. He's not a little Uzi where he can, you know, just kind of get on tracks. He can rap a little bit, just, you know, as long as it sounded good, add some ad-libs and then boom, you got a good song. So he's an actual rapper. So I have to listen to what he's saying. I have to check the flows. I have to check whether there's substance there. And it seems like that was lacking. Even the songs you think were going to be great. Now, I don't want to take away from some of this because there are good songs, maybe potentially even great songs. I don't know yet. It just dropped. So I got to sit with it for a little bit longer, but it's mixed in under so much. Almost throwaway song, like almost songs that it felt like he just kind of went to the studio and kind of just rapped, like almost as this is like a mixtape and not an album. But for you at this point in his career, we just can't have this. I mean, we just can't have the mid game. We're past that. We're past that with Meek Mill. Like Meek Mill should have been a superstar by now. And I don't really know if he is, in my opinion. I'm not sure if he's a superstar in the rap game. I'm not sure if he makes my top 10 list right now. So with that being said, and with all the other good music coming out, like we talked about earlier, with all the other rappers really rapping the ass off this year, it's like you dropping this just feels weird, man. It just feels really weird. It lacks a soul to me. It lacks anything that gets me excited. No real energy in there. No songs of note that I could just say, this is the one. Like this is the one. Like I don't know where you would go with a single from here. There's a few songs that come to mind, but I don't know for sure if it was like if he dropped that as a single, would it pop off? You know what I mean? I'm not sure. So I hate to do this to him. You know what I mean? I don't want to get ripped by King here in just a second. When he get over here, he's going to start yelling, throw his hat at me or something. But like I'm just saying this might be the mid game, bro. This might be the mid.
Yeah. I initially thought that too. Like when music drop on Fridays, first thing I do is I look for like, all right, what's the number one thing I want to listen to as soon as I wake up? I play that in the morning. Hopefully I'm going to the gym that morning. I'll get a gym workout. But then what I often see is I have a different listening experience from playing something early in the morning to like playing it that afternoon or playing it in headphones versus playing it in a car. So when I first listened to this Meek project, I was like, bro, this is boo-boo. Like this, come on, bro. Like, but again, I'm biased. I've been following Meek since 05, 06. Like back when he was, you know, rapping and going back and forth to jail, when he was, you know, trying to become the hottest in the city when he wasn't. Like, I remember that. So I seen his whole career blow up in front of my face. So I am deeply invested in his career. But what I did see and what I am seeing is when he got with Nicki back on his second album, I think it's Dreams Worth More Than Money, she gave him like, hey, you need to make more women records. And ever since then, he has been inserting more and more like women records and or songs for the women. And it's been working. Like that song with Nicki, Chris Brown, that was a hit. His last album, the song with was Jeremiah and PNB Rock, that was a hit. Mm-hmm. But they made sense. I feel like the records for the women on this project don't make sense. So if you were to take off all of those records when he's talking about love and he's trying to get sentimental, this album becomes a lot better because you kind of see where his vision is. And when he's talking about expensive pain, what he's talking about and the concept of it, it kind of starts to make more sense. But when you have a whole song talking about, yo, I get this chick and you loving her, this, that, that. And then the next song you're talking about, you damn near crying because you found out a girl having sex. It's kind of hard to kind of stay with the whole vibe of it. But when you take that out and you kind of see a more consistent message, then it starts to make sense. I feel like also he's struggling with his identity. For a long portion of his career, Meek was the streets. Meek was like, oh, he's the street rapper. He's the street. Like Meek is, he's the one holding it down. He's saving. We got Dirk now. We got Baby now. They the streets and they the best at it. And you got songs on here. I think it's On My Soul. If I would have closed my eyes and I didn't know, I would have thought that was Dirk. Like that's a Dirk song. And then you got the song with him and Lil Baby and Lil Dirk sharing locations. Like you, that's their song. And then Meek was on it. So you kind of see him subconsciously taking note. Oh, this is what the streets are. This is what it is. And I think that's what leads to the less energy. Because you hear the intro, you hear Hate On Me, and it's like, bet, if you give me 10 to 12 of these, let's go, Meek, we back in it. But he wants to be the streets. I want to be, you know, I inspired them. It's kind of like what I was saying with Wayne and him birthing that. Meek thinks he birthed this new age of street rap, but you can see he's kind of running behind their sound. And I feel like what I was saying with earlier with Wayne, when you do birth something, you won't be able to keep up with the new age of it because they're closer to the street. They're closer to that newness. They're more innovative. So the only thing that you can do is double down on what you're good at. Lil Wayne didn't go and chase Rich the Kid sound. He just stayed on and perfecting what Lil Wayne did. So when he did get invited to that sound, he stayed in his lane and it made everything better. What Meek has to do is stay on that high energy. The thing that people make fun of him about, like, oh, he always screaming. But that's the Meek sound. That's the reason why we have like, oh, this is a Meek Mill type beat. That's a Meek Mill. That's a blessing to have that category for people to say, oh, that's the DaBaby flow. That's your thing. Master that. Do that so that when you do venture out, you can bring the best of that to these other sounds. But now it just seems like he's trying to make a Lil Durk sound. He's trying to make a Lil Baby sound. He's trying to make a Moneybagg Yo sound. And it's disappointing to see because he's supposed to be moving in a mogul status. And he is with certain moves. You see him hanging out with billionaires. You see him hanging out with, you know, the Robert Kraft and the owner of the Sixers, the Michael Rubens and all that. You see him like making these moves. You see him teaming up with Jay-Z to bring people home from jail. But this album seemed like, hey, I'm still from the street, y'all. And right now I want more of a boss. Like you came out with the song, I'm a boss. I need you to transition into that instead of stop trying to be like, the soldier that you used to be.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, man. Cause the thing is, I just don't know where you go from here. Like it's not over and I haven't even given up on this album. I want to be clear. I'm still going to listen.
Yeah. I think if I was to give it a letter grade, it's either a C plus B minus. Like it's not bad. This is not bad at all.
Yeah.
But this isn't something you play in the headphones.
Yeah. It's a standards thing for me.
Yeah,
that's all it is. It's a standard thing for me. Again, like I said, it's just for the stage of his career. I feel like we keep having to explain this, but we don't. But I keep explaining it anyway. We talked about it with Drake. It's mid for him,
right?
It's not mid for the rest of the game, but it is mid for him,
right?
That's where we at. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, facts.
But again, I haven't given up on it. I'm still going. I'm gonna give it a few plays. It's just so much to listen to. It's like if that was first, literally by the second or third kind of playthrough, if something ain't really hitting off to me, I'm having to move on to something else.
Yeah,
because it's other things I want to listen to. I'm still listening to Sayari, finding songs that are on there that I like. You know what I mean? That was a few weeks ago. You know what I mean? So there's. It's too much music coming out at a rapid pace for me to just be trying to convince myself that I like an album. I just can't do it.
Yeah, this is definitely something like the more and more I listen to it, the more I like it. But like you said, I've listened to this a lot to be able to like it. And like you said, I got so much to listen to. It's hard to dedicate that much time to learn to like a song or like an album when you have so many where it's like, I like this immediately.
Right. Exactly. Well, let's get into our topic for today. This one is, you know, it's like one of those ones where, you know, I hate to have to talk about it, but it's like at this point, you got to kind of call a spade with Shorty right here. So I want to talk a little bit about Karen Civil versus Jordan Lucas. If you don't know anything about it, within the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of information coming out about that from Jordan Lucas' side and as well as Karen Civil. But Jordan Lucas claims that about 10 years ago, almost a decade ago, when he was, you know, trying to get off the floor as an artist, Karen Civil was basically like a manager type for him. And he gave her 60K, basically to, you know, signed a contract with her, gave her 60K to, you know, basically work with him, do what she did for Nip, right? I mean she worked for Nip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do the same thing for that. And didn't really work out. Joyner says that she basically kind of stole the money because after that point, she really was kind of being shady. Didn't really talk to him, kind of called him like, yo, I'm on vacation. Why you calling me? You know, kind of like he was an annoyance and like stopped contacting me and things of that nature. Like, so Joyner feels like he kind of got robbed. She didn't really do her side of the story. Didn't really do her part. And Karen Civil, she responded, kind of said it was kind of like a ploy to kind of get some clout for Joyner. Wasn't really an apology. They did go on to get into a little debate, I should say, on Clubhouse. You can go hear that as well. You can go on YouTube and kind of listen to that. That was kind of weird too. It was clean as can be. Like they did let each other talk for the most part. There was times where Joyner would interrupt her. There was time Karen would interrupt him. But for the most part, they did kind of get their say in. I don't really feel like it came to a conclusion, like anything was really resolved. Karen didn't really feel like she was apologetic to the situation that Joyner was going through, especially Joyner said he was broke. He's like saying that 60K was all I had. I got my, you know, having my child. They said he's sick. I ain't got really nothing to do. This is all I got is this rap shit. And you playing with 60K of my money. I didn't even really have that 60K to begin with. So. It was a tough situation for him. Karen really didn't feel apologetic about it. And it kind of just got to Karen was saying like, she just kind of over that. She's not really, you know, into, you know, getting into it and things of that nature or whatever. So it just kind of got into it just kind of ended. The problem with this is, and I'll start on what my thoughts are here shortly, but the problem with this is Karen Civil is not, clean in any of this. This is, not the first accusation like this. In fact, she's just coming off of a court case where she lost to a, let me see, an artist name. Got that right.
Jesse Wu.
She just lost the case to Jesse Wu. And that doesn't, like I said, that doesn't necessarily mean that she did exactly what it said, that it was an extortion case for a sum of $300 million. It doesn't actually mean that she did it. But it does mean that she was found guilty of some wrongdoing. So she did something wrong enough for her to lose that case and have to pay a healthy sum to Jesse Wu. Cam'ron, he came out immediately and said, okay, now I done told y'all this about 5-6 years ago that she did the same thing to my man. And y'all, everybody said, nah, you hating. Nah, you just, it's the black women thing, like this and that. And now here we are again. So this is, again, that's just three in the last, you know, a few years, you know what I mean? So, and she's going through, I think she's going through another case right now. Looks like, but that's a little bit wonky on that as well for me. I haven't been able to research that as much as I want. But again, that's just to name a few. That's just to name a few that Karen things that, you know, people are saying, accusing Karen Civil of. And with that being said, to me, I don't want to badmouth Karen Civil. Like, I truly don't. It doesn't bring me any joy to do that. But it doesn't look good. And at some point, when somebody keeps showing you who they are, you kind of got to start believing them. I can't imagine why at this point I'd want to work with her, because at this point she's kind of just riding off the success of Nip, which is fine. But if that's your only car, your only claim to fame at this point, I'm not saying she did nothing. She's done nothing else. But the bad at this point is outweighing the good. There's even a video about the creator of what's that, Hip Hop Access, or it's an Instagram, Hip Hop Unlocked, I think it is. It's an Instagram page. It's like the Shade Room type of page, where, you know, there was an interview with him on The Breakfast Club, and he was saying how Karen Civil was like trying to play buddy buddy with him, but at the same time, behind the scenes, she was trying to get his page taken down because he was writing some stories about how she had took some money from somebody else, another person, right? So. And he wanted to do an interview with her, but she said, well, we can do an interview, but we're not talking about any of that stuff. And he's like, well, this is my platform, you know, yada, yada, yada. And so she basically tried to send a hit out on his page to try to have like scammers and stuff like take his page down. So that, again, that never was proven to be true either. But at some point, you know, how many accusations can you have? Right. We do this with y'all do this. I ain't going to say we do this, but y'all do this with the cases like Deshaun Watson or Bill Cosby or things like that. When the accusations start to pile up, you know, what am I to do at that point with that information? You know, it starts to become more believable the more accusations you get. And these ones aren't just people that's claiming something and not talking about it. These people are going through great detail about their works with Karen Civil. It's not just hey, this happened to me too. Or, hey, let me put my name here. Or, oh, I'm John Doe, and I just want to, you know, release a comment under, you know, some faulty name. This is artists in the game that we can go listen to. You can go listen to the Clubhouse. You can go read the tweets from Jordan Lucas. You can go read the tweets from Cameron. You can go read the statement from Jesse Wu. You can see exactly what they said that she did and what they did about that, or how they felt about that. And at the same time, while all that's being said, Karen is kind of taking a hands-off approach, as if, like, this is just it's so beneath me. Like, I don't even have to talk about this because I don't, you know, it's obviously not real. And it's just like, but is it obviously not real at this point? Because I can't tell. It looked a little shaky to me. She's seeming like a little city girl. She might be a scammer out here at this point. So I don't really know what's going on. I don't really know what's going on, but it's not looking too good. But those are my kind of initial thoughts on that, though.
That not too often we see a black Karen going through her going through these things, though.
Yeah, this is rare. This is rare.
But I kind of shoot her some bell, because I do see right now it's kind of easy to tag along. Like, I even said Meek was guilty of this too. Like, once everybody like started piling on, he came out like, yeah, you did me dirty. She's like, yo, bro, I was defending you for the past like 3 years, bro. What you doing? Not you.
Just sat down and not say nothing, dog. He had to say something.
Why you here? But I'll shoot her some bell, because with her position in the music industry, she is connected. Like, she is connected. Like, she has like access to Charlamagne. She got access to these different platforms. She has a history of success. Like, she even had access to Hillary Clinton when she was doing a presidential run, to the point where she connected her with Pusha T and had him in the White House and doing all these other things. So she had access. When Nip passed, she got the letter from Obama, read it at his funeral when they had it at the Staples Center. So she is a connected person. What I will say, like, I'm Team Jordan all the way. Like, that's my dog. But the mistake I believe he made in WAC 100, and I know everybody hate WAC, but sometimes he come in there and he be saying some real things. He actually got into the call a little bit later, once Joyner was getting a little feisty and Karen was like, yo, I'm not playing this tough guy stuff. Like, I'm a woman. Like, I'm not doing this back and forth, yelling and screaming. Like, I'm not doing that with you. WAC got into the call and was like, look, maybe that's something on your management that they could have itemized and got a breakdown of exactly what you expected Karen Civil to do with that $60K. Because it seems like you saying, all of this, it sounds good. Yo, this is my last 60K. I got a son on the way. I need you to put your arm around me and do what you did for Nipsey. That sounds good, but that's not an actionable plan. I need you to say, okay, with this 60K, all right, 12K is just my service fee. So boom, we working with 48 right off the bat. Five going to go to this promotion. Five going to go to this. 10 going to go here. 12 going to go here. And this how I'm going to bust it down. And this the moves I'm going to make. It seems like that didn't happen. Or if it did, it didn't happen the way Joyner expected it to after he gave her the money. So what Wack was saying is before you give any type of transaction, you need to set that up to where you know exactly where this money is going to go. Because Joyner was saying, like, you up here talking about you spending all this money on radio. We already had a budget for radio. We already doing all this. You up here saying, yo, I'm trying to get you up on a Breakfast Club because I'm connected with Charlamagne. I already got on the breakfast. I can get on the Breakfast Club. I don't need you for that. So the issue seemed like there was miscommunication of what the expectation was. What are you going to do with this money? What are you hiring me to do? So I felt like there was some back and forth, and it got to a point where Cameron was like, look, this is what I do. I'm connected with Charlamagne. I can take this. I can get you on the Breakfast Club because that's my dog. I'm connected out here. I can get you on these radio stations. I can get you to this market. If that's not what you want, I can't tell. Like, it's kind of hard for me to do all these things because you have an interpretation of what I did for Nipsey. You have an interpretation of what I've done for YG. You think that I just have this magic touch that I can make you a star. And that's not how the music industry works. We talked about this with Kanye when he had his lawsuits. We talked about this with Taylor Swift and all of that. The music business is not a mathematical science. Like, it's more of an art. You can't just say, all right, bet if I put this money here, then I'm going to become a star. No. And Joyner has the talent. He's always had the talent, but there is some sort of luck. You got to have the right time. You got to have the right song. It has to, you know, do the right things. You could invest a lot of money into something and it just not paying out, no matter how good the song is. So I can't fault her on that front to say, yo, you took my money and then I didn't become a star. Cause that's where it seemed like the sentiment came from. Like, Joyner, like, I gave you 60K, something should have happened. And it's like, hey, bro, that's not always going to happen. That's the music business. There's no guarantee that if you invest money that you're going to make it just because that she did it for somebody else, because it's not exact science. It's more of an art. What I will say is she has been proven, like you said, the court case, she did lose that case against Jesse Wu, saying that she signed her to a fake agency to get personal information and later used that to extort her. She did admit to hiring a hacker to take down Jesse Lee's page. And then said, I admit it, but I feel sorry about it. And then with Cameron, like you said, 2016, he was saying, yo, she making stuff up and she just using people's names for clout. But everybody turned on Cameron and all this is coming out. He's like, yeah, that's the same exact thing happened to Duke the God for the same exact price. But nobody wanted to listen to him. So with that being said, I do feel like maybe she's made some mistakes in the industry. Maybe she's made some bad business moves. But what I don't like is, yo, that's the music industry. Like, the music industry is like this, it's shady or whatever like that. She's just keeping on the status quo. Why we hold her to a higher expectation is like, oh, you a black woman. You're supposed to be the one that make change. You started from the ground too. You seen what it's like when Nipsey made it. You seen what it's like when YG made it. You've elevated these different careers. So you're supposed to be for us. You're supposed to help us out. So I'm coming to you from a vulnerable position to say, like, hey, help me out. Do what you can. So I don't think that she should be taking advantage of artists if she is doing that. But I also don't think that just because you gave her a check, you're guaranteed to get results. So it's kind of I see both sides of that fence, you know, and I don't think that just because it's cool and she's an easy target, that everything anybody ever said about her is necessarily true.
That, yeah, I mean, and that there's that side as well, like I said. The only thing, like I said, I guess the only thing I would say to not combat, but just kind of, I'm gonna shoot some bell back to Joyner Lucas in that case, is he was in a desperate position. It sounded like
that's not her fault, though.
That's not her fault. That's not her fault. But he did what he thought was best. He went to a place that he went to somebody he thought he could trust in Karen Civil. Like, he thought he can trust her. He thought that she would know what to do with that money. So.
That's bad business.
that is bad business, and they should have had a conversation. But from what it sounds like is that he tried to reach out to have a conversation about what are you doing with this? Because those are the things that I didn't ask. And she kind of blew him off from his perspective. That's his word. We can't prove if that's true or not, but it did sound like he tried to correct that. It did sound like he tried to reach out to her and was talking to her about it. Whether he said the right words, whether it was aggressive or not, I don't know. Desperate. If you were a desperate man, I could imagine that you're not in the right state of mind. So when he was calling her, he might have been on dummy. He might have been on dummy time. So I understand that. But new artists do stupider things like that. That's not a bad, as far as a new artist, like Lil Yachty didn't even know his contract. Like, you know what I mean? So there's new artists doing a lot of stupid stuff. That's really not that stupid of a move for giving your money to somebody that's that established in the game and expecting them to make something happen. Now, is it because he didn't become a star because of her? Is that, you know, reason enough to be on here, you know, doing a whoop-de-whoop like he's doing right now? I don't think so. It was going to happen. Like, you know what I mean? He's talented enough that he bet on himself at the end of that, and it worked out for him. And now 60K to him is probably nothing. You know what I mean? So, but the principle of the matter is that I thought I could believe, you know, in trusting you and give you this money and thought you knew what, you know, you was going to do. And I thought we was going to work together like we should. I thought I was going to get the nip package, and I didn't really get that. Now, is that stealing? Not really. Is it bad business? Yes. But there's reason to be upset about that. And even with that being said, we still can't ignore all of the past accusations. We still can't ignore. You just can't. Like, even if she is an easy target now, she's an easy target because it's things that she did, because of moves that she made with other artists. So she got to hold some of that. You know, whether or not it's true or not, you at that point, you got to hold some of that. That's on your record now. That's part of you now. So whether or not you want to address it, that's on you. That has nothing to do. You don't have to. No one's going to make her address it, but it might be beneficial to you as far as moving on throughout the game. You that well connected. I want to see her do well. I want to see all her artists that she works with do well. I want to see all the people that she do with do well. But it's hard for me. Like, if I was in that position and I had the chance to work with Karen Civil, I think I'd go a different route. I just do. I just think I'd go a different route at that point.
And I agree. I agree 100%. I'm not saying that she's above critique, but this is where I have to draw the line and be consistent, because when it came down to the Jesse Wu situation, took it to the court of law, boom, she lost. So she got to hold all that, and then Jesse Wu did her part. When it came down to the Jason Lee situation, called her out. Yo, you hacked my account. Boom, you caught me red-handed. I did that, and I feel bad about it, right? Those are separate issues. But what Joyner is talking about is Joyner's issue. We already got what she had with that issue. We can't take, since you did this, we got to assume that you did this in bad intention. I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
That's a whole different issue. Cause whenever she got called out on some stuff that she did wrong, hey, she ate that. But for you to say, well, I was in a bad position, I was vulnerable, I got a son on the way, I needed you to put your arm around me and do what you did to Nip, that's not good business. And I'm not going to sit up here and just because this person has a bad record and just because she might have fumbled the bag, I'm not going to put that all on her because you out here doing bad business. We've learned about that. We saw this happen with Joe Button and Rory and Ma. They sat by while he did all these bad business deals. They said, I see how you do business, but you're not going to do that with me. I see how you shafted this person for their money, but you're not going to do that with me. I see how you are in these different relationships and that, but you're not going to do that with me. And then what happened? He did that with them. So they got to be held to certain extent. Like, yes, Joe was wrong for that, but you blatantly ignored it, and that's bad business on your part. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that, like, Rory and Maul, I support them. Same way I support Joyner. You know what I mean? But we got to acknowledge you have to, in order for this to be a teachable moment, for us to just pile on Karen Civil, that's just like, all right, that's a bad person. And Joyner, you shouldn't have did Joyner that way because he's in that position. No, new artists, you see the flaw. No matter who you think this person is, no matter who you think their reputation is, how much you think they can do for you, you got to handle your business. You got to get this stuff in writing. You shouldn't be worried about what they're doing with the money after the money has been transferred. That should be accounted for before any money is exchanged. If you doing a breakdown, you saying, yo, you spending $30,000 on radio, we have a separate budget for radio. Take that out your stuff. Oh, you're doing $10,000 to get me on a Breakfast Club. We already have our Breakfast Club interview lined up. Take that out. Then you start to see, oh, the things that you're able to do for me, I could do for myself. Let me take this $60,000 and reinvest that, which is what Jordan said. If I would have known you would have did this, I could have took that $60K and did something else. You are expected to know that before you do this business deal. That's your responsibility as an artist. And it's easy to say that 2020 hindsight, but for this to be a teachable moment, artists, entrepreneurs, people have to understand you are in charge of your business. You got to handle your business. You can't go in there and be like, everybody's going to treat me good. I'm going to have good faith. And no, that's not how the game works. The game work, how you handling your business? I'm handling mine. You going to handle yours. Boom. It worked because Nipsey was such a good businessman. It worked because YG was such a good businessman. It worked because Charlamagne is such a good businessman. That's why her magic works. Not because she's just this almighty figure that as soon as she places the cosign on you, you become a star. Nah. So again, I'm team Joyner. Joyner is having one of the best years. I'm excited for his next album. I can't praise him enough. I'm on his side. I want him to get justice, and I'm glad he's able to speak out on something, because he said, I didn't have any clout, so I didn't want to seem like I was punching up to say like I'm hating on Karen Civil. But now that I'm in a position to say like, yo, I did this by myself, let me call this out and let me make this a teachable moment. Let's not just get lost in the fact that she does have a bad track record.
I'm tracking. It's still kind of Karen Shiesty for me. Karen Civil girl. Karen City girl, man. I just can't. I don't know, man.
Shiesty, that's my dog. Hopefully you know I'm really Shiesty.
It's the Shiesty Shiesty, bro. It's the scammy scams. Oh, I don't know. Man. Yeah, I wouldn't put my money on her moving forward if I was the artist. That's the lesson for real. If in my opinion, but again, who am I?
Back.
But the real question is, would you participate in the Squid Game, bro? We gotta get the people what they want, bro.
Fuck no.
You wouldn't participate?
I'm not athletic.
I'm not that broke.
When it was just like, yo, I gotta beat the test, I'm with it, dog. I play red light, green light.
Yep.
But once you gotta, once you go I'll up against honest. Other people, that's when it get crazy.
It got kind of crazy. I'm on the third episode.
Yeah.
So I gotta finish it. But yeah, it is pretty good. I must admit.
Man, that's a good show, dog.
It's weird things that you can appreciate, especially being in Korea, like seeing the kind of culture is and watching that show. Cause it's like, you see stuff that you like, damn, that's crazy. Cause it really looked like some Korean people living their Korean life. Like you see that, like when they was outside drinking that soju at the GS35 with food and shit like that. Like that's, you see that like every night. Like you see people sitting outside just drinking their soju, eating and chopping it up with each other. Like it's just, you see funny shit like that. So it was cool to watch it from that perspective. But it's weird though. It's a weird show. It's a weird shit going on. I don't know who comes up with these ideas. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta be mad creative.
But this is the thing. Like I think we was talking about this either last episode or the one before. Like, we need creativity, dog. It's only so many remakes I could take, dog. Like, man, we got Matrix 4. We got Space Jam 2. Like, they just reaching, dog. They reaching like Space Jam 1 to get some ideas. Like,
no, how to get about that Fast and Furious 20.
Yeah, too. Fast and Furious. Man. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need create. Like, this, I appreciated the risk. Yeah, it's weird, but it's like, okay, I don't know what's about to happen. I'm honestly interested to figure out how this is going to work out.
And I thought it was really cool that first episode that they actually voted left and then came back. And then they like, everybody like, you know what I'm saying? Like they literally voted and they got home. They like, this shit crazy out here. They got home and said, niggas is broke, bro. We got to go back, dog. We should have kept going. Like, even if I was the old head, like, if I was the old head there, I would definitely, homie got the brain to her. Like, yeah, let me just sit. If I die, if he dies, he dies, bro. Like, fuck yeah, man. Wait, these mans out here, they said they in 200 million won in debt, bro. Shit. Nah. Damn, yeah, that's too much goddamn money.
Finish it, though. Let me know what you think. Finish it. Let me know what you think. Cause it's,
I'm gonna finish that, though. But yeah, let's get to these positivity shots real quick. Mine's going to be a nice little short one. Mine goes out to Chris Paul. He bought 500 tickets to the Phoenix Mercury versus Las Vegas Aces game. Again, that's a playoff game, so I'm sure people are definitely going to want to go see that. But the thing about it that I want to, you know, say, you know, my positive shout out to him for is that a lot of people like talk about they want to help the WNBA, like they want to assist them in getting some more money, they want to assist them in getting more revenue, more eyes on the WNBA because they are talented, they do have skills, and it is fun to watch. But not too many people really put their money where their mouth is, you know, like. Everybody's just like, oh, well, women equality and this and that and making TikToks and making posts on Facebook. But there's really no substance to that. There's really no, like, you know, you're not really putting any more money in the pocket. You're not adding to the revenue. You're not really giving, it's really not even adding that much awareness because all those type of videos already out. All the videos about the WNBA needing to get bigger or needing to do something to change. Those are already out. All the TikToks, all the tweets, all the Facebook posts, those are already out. So you continue to do those as much as you want. They haven't really had any impact on revenue for the WNBA. This is a direct move. I'm telling you, there's a free playoff game in your city. They're first come, first serve. That's 500 people. Like, come get these. Like, you know what I mean? Like, come get these tickets. And in the quote in there, he says, like, you know, a big thing about him, he said, y'all know I've been a supporter for forever. But this is also like my home. Like I'm a Phoenix Suns. We right across the street. Like we brothers, sisters. So I'm really down here to trying to support them. And this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm actually going to make moves here. And that got to be applauded no matter in what situation it is. If you out here putting your money where your mouth is, especially when you a star, like that, like as big as Chris Paul is, as many years as he's been in, he's just coming off a big contract. That, I'm sure that money is nothing to him in a sense. You know what I mean? So. That's I like to see that. You know, we all need to support each other more, especially if you're in the WNBA and NBA. You know, it's too close. Y'all too close together, too close in content, too close in what y'all do to not really support each other. So if you're one of those people, if you're one of those NBA players that, you know, I support the WNBA, you say you support the NBA. Well, Chris Paul is leading the way and showing you what kind of things you can do to actually support the WNBA, not just make it a commercial because they told you to make a commercial, not just making a post because they told you to make a post, actually making something with substance. I'm not saying you have to spend money. But I don't see a lot of y'all at the games. You know what I mean? Like, I don't watch very many, but, you know, the ones that I do, I don't see a lot of NBA stars at the game. So if you're one of those people, you on one of the commercials, I see the commercials, all y'all like, hey, the girls got game and y'all doing the corny shit. All right. Well, go ahead and have some substance. Go ahead and follow through with that. Chris Paul is leading the way on that. So shout out to Chris Paul, man.
I like that energy. I like that energy.
I'm like, bro, I seen that. I said, okay, now we got somebody actually doing something.
What if I told you they were MVP? They were rookie of the year.
In her name.
She's
got game. Like, in a commercial, I'm like, well, what are y'all doing, bro? Got John Moran in here dribbling the ball with a girl and shit. Like, I'm like, man, do something, dog.
Yeah. Because they fire. They give me buckets.
You see a dude drop. You see her drop Sue Bird like maybe 2 weeks ago
on her face,
on her grill, bro.
Face. Like, you did that to a legend. That's somebody's mom, bro. That's somebody's mother. You did that to somebody's mother.
That's making that much worse, bro. Like, come on, bro. Somebody
you crossed my mom like that. You crossed my mom like that. Now you catch me.
That's a crime. I'm about to drop you, dog. I'm about to come over and drop you, bro. I don't. Come on, bro. She's going to broke her damn nose falling that hard on her face, bro.
They nice, man. So that,
yeah.
Chris Paul, real one, man. He's a real one.
Chris Paul is a real one.
So I'm going to keep my positivity shout out in NBA as well. And now I'm going to give mine to Joel Embiid. And the reason why is because he's being real. Every time I look up on these sports shows, they're like, oh man, he's telling the truth too much. Like in therapy, they always say, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And sometimes you just need to dial it back and not say as much so that you can be happy. And what I say is, bro, sometimes you got to be real. Joel Embiid called it out. The turn of, when they lost the series last year, Atlanta Hawks, like, turn a point when we gave up that open layup and we couldn't make our free throws. Really happy. Here, offseason, Ben Simmons is holding out. He doesn't want to be a part of the Sixers. And he's been talking crazy about the Sixers all summer. Don't want to be a part of them. Don't, not even going to fly out to training camp. Y'all better trade me. I'm never playing there again. And at the whole time, whole organization is like, we can still win with them. I think it's hope. We had a rough ending, but I think we can really, you know, keep going. Try to fly out to LA, to meet with him. He dubbed him like, don't even come out here, bro. I'm not trying to talk to none of y'all. He keep leaking information to the media. Like, yo, me and Joel Embiid is actually the problem. Us playing together is the problem. Like, blah, blah, blah. And Joel Embiid had enough. Like, hey, I'm tired of holding my tongue. I'm tired of sitting up here and being the bigger man while this man get the slander, because he said it best. It's borderline disrespectful to the people that's out here showing up and doing what they need to do for this team. And called out with, as a Sixers fan, the biggest mistake we've made in the past 30 years was letting Jimmy Butler go. We were one shot away from beating the eventual champions of the Toronto Raptors all because of Jimmy Butler. And what do we got now to show for it? Tobias Harris, who scored 4 points in an elimination. Joel Embiid called that out. We got rid of Jimmy Butler, which I thought was a mistake, to get Al Horford. What has Al Horford done in the past 5 years? Nothing. Nothing. All because what? Ben Simmons wanted the ball in his hand, right? That, I want reality. I need somebody to be real. I get it. We a company. You got to be a company, man. You got to keep his trade value high. But at the end of the day, just like Chris Paul is doing a real thing of supporting the people out, supporting WNBA, buying these tickets, letting people experience and letting get in on the experience. Somebody has to call a spade. Sitting up here and acting like the city and the organization is asking Ben Simmons to do too much by telling him to learn how to shoot the basketball when you play a game of basketball where you have to shoot a ball into a hoop and you afraid to do so, even when it's a free throw, when you just have to stand at a line and shoot that ball into the hoop after you've been given a max contract. Somebody gonna have to call that spade a spade. And for Joel Embiid to do it, I appreciate it. You might be taking the bullets from the whole sports world. You might even take the eventual bullet because the Sixers can't get that trade value back in Ben Simmons. But I salute you for taking that stand and dying on that hill of being a good person of principle, being somebody that's real and calling a spade a spade. Get Ben Simmons on a first train out of here. You crumb bum. You can't shoot free throws. Your hairline's uneven. You're not cute. You look dusty. Get him out of here, dog. And Jalen Hurts, you got one more week to look this trash, and I'm calling you out too, dog.
Then he got the fucking audacity to be shooting fucking three-pointers in the offseason.
Like every offseason. Oh, he's coming, dog.
Stop fucking show House of Highlights. Stop fucking putting that shit on your page. God damn, bro. That shit is so infuriating, bro. Like, stop showing me this motherfucker shooting threes.
But that's the thing. We've been riding for this man for the past 2-3 years. All right, he's going to get better this year. He's going to get better this year. And he never does. And the fact that he's mad at this organization for sticking by him through all that, giving him a max contract and saying a data problem, get him out of here, bro.
He really lame.
You might be our worst player.
You're really lame, bro.
Gave you all that time.
How you gonna be mad because your organization say, bro, you're not good enough. We gave you money. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we gave you a max, bro.
But that's the thing. You play. They didn't even say he's not good enough. All Doc Rivers said was, I don't know the answer to that question. They said, can he win? I don't know. Because we just lost the series.
All Joel Embiid says, I knew we was going to lose when motherfuckers was turning down layups at the rim.
That was the turning point in the game.
That's when I knew we was about to lose. That was all real shit.
And he didn't even, and he called out Thybul too, because he missed one of the two free throws. It was like, we had an open layup and we only came away with 1 point. That's fact. And you mad at them?
And there it is, bro.
All right, man.
There it is. Crumb bum, bro.
Crumb bum.
And another thing, would you like
send him to the Squid Games? Make him shoot a free throw.
Make him shoot a free throw for a Squid Game. Nah, he might as well just go ahead and call it a day. The mid game, bro.
Work on your mid game.
You need to work on the mid game, bro. But another thing, I've seen on Twitter, they were saying that the NFL guys, the announcers, like the TV guys, are far superior to the NBA guys because they really support, like they show love. They talking about the game, they explaining it. So anytime they giving you like, hey, this dude's a bum, and here they giving you, hey, this dude, they don't even say that. They just say like, hey, this dude, he needs to play better. Here's what he needs to do. Here's what he did wrong. Here's what he need to do. And they showing you clips. They telling you about the game. They're explaining to you. Shannon Sharp does a really good job of that too. Most of the time of telling you, hey, it's this coverage. Especially like talking about quarterbacks. It's like, it's this coverage. Here's where he should have went. Here's where he went. I see why he went there, but the right read is here. And this is why. Like those are things that NFL guys do. And I wonder if it's because, you know, in the NFL, it's such a bigger group of men. It's such a, like, you know, 53 man rosters. You got to support 53 men because you know that every person plays a pivotal role on your team. So you're used to supporting that. And then you're moving around a little bit. You're seeing, so you got 53 men here, 53 men there. Every time you go to a new roster, you're supporting all these people. So when you get out, I think it's kind of natural for you to kind of just make sure, like, you're not calling people bums because you might have to work with that dude. You know what I mean? Later, you see Richard Sherman, you hit him with the you mad bro Tom Brady. Now he on Tom Brady team. You know what I mean? So shit like that, you don't do. NBA, it's 20 people max in the organization that you really support, and everybody else is an op. You know what I mean? Everybody else is an op. Everybody else you got to work against. So maybe that's something that's, you know, psychologically, because you do see NBA guys go a little bit too wild with the disrespect. You do see them like to where it seems like it's hate. You know, you've seen the Shaq and JaVale McGee, you know, to kind of get into it. You've seen Charles Barkley get into it with a bunch of people. You see Jalen Rose get into it with a bunch of people. You know, they kind of talk about it because it's just like, it's so, even though it's a team sport, it's so much more of an individual type of thing, though, than the NFL is. NFL, you can't do nothing by yourself. You can be as great as you want. You can get nothing accomplished by yourself. NBA, I can drop 50 on your head. My team's going to have a good chance to win. You know what I mean? So I'm, even though it's still just us in the tight knit group, I know I can get this done in my own sense. So when I go to the mic, you know, when I get out the game, I'm thinking, this dude talking to me, this dude a bum. Like I ought to get him 50 in my prime. You know what I mean? Like they just think a little different. They think a little, you know, manny man type of world. So maybe that's why they seem to be hating so much. Cause it does to me at this point, sometimes seems like it's just hate. I don't know if jealousy, I don't know what it is, but just something to think about. I thought that was kind of crazy.
I agree with that point, but I'll say this, cause oftentimes we misconfuse hating with criticism. Now, Charles Barkley, like you mentioned, a lot of people say he hate, but I think he had the best take on this. Yeah. You're playing a game.
Agreed.
You're playing a game. You're getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars to play a game. The fact that you are mad when the fan base who make it possible for you to get paid these hundreds of millions, the ownership, the leadership of the organization who make it possible for you to make these hundreds of millions, are telling you to be better at that game. I'm not telling you, what do you say? I'm not telling you to come over to my house, cut my grass, clean my pool, mow my lawn. I'm not telling you to come to my house to play basketball. I'm telling you to do what you're being paid to do. And when we stop, like I just had and I know I'm getting long-winded, we're getting off topic, we're gonna wrap this up, but I feel like this is just a good a learning moment. I was talking to an officer that I work for, and he was asking me, am I afraid to go back to a shop and potentially be a leader? And I was telling him, like, leading isn't that hard, in my opinion. It's just about the amount of effort you're willing to put in. I might not know everything, but if I'm willing to put in an effort, I'm willing to figure it out, and I'm willing to do what I can. He said, that's half the battle, but the other half the battle is to be able to know that you don't know everything. Certain people get in a position of power. They might get paid in a, owner of Ben Simmons, I'm a max contract player, and they get entitled. They feel like they know everything. And even people below them can't tell them anything, and they're not able to expand past what they already know. So if you have the ability to continue to put in the effort and then know that you don't know everything and continue to get better, that's what it takes to be a good leader. What I think criticism is us telling Ben Simmons, we've given you a leadership position. We've made you a franchise player. All we're asking you to do is to get better. But you are acting entitled to say, y'all not talking to me like that. Y'all not going to continue to disrespect me. I can score 4 points in an elimination game. I cannot shoot a basket in the last, what was I think, like four or five, like fourth quarters of the game. I don't shoot any shots. Point guard. And I'm the starting point guard on a max contract getting $34, $35 million a year. That's not hate. That's reality.
Yeah, something's up. But yeah.
Work on your mid game.
Work on the mid game, bro. work on the mid game, dog. Damn, bro. It's crazy. But so yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up, man. You got any closing comments for him?
Nah, man. Drink your water and meditate and continue to listen to the Who Am I podcast.
Hell yeah, man. We appreciate y'all tuning in. This is Who Am I Pod. We out.
Red light.